Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. Today we bring you another episode of the CDH Women Empowerment Series. I'm joined by Nelly Siwe Khumalo. For those of you who don't know Nelly, she's a senior associate in the competition department, and I've been dying to ask her a few questions. Thanks for joining us, Nelly. I know how busy you are.
Thank you so much for having me, Safi. Thank you so much.
I'm not kidding when I say I couldn't wait, because I've got a question that I've been meaning to ask you for the longest time, and we keep missing each other, so there's no time like today. Tell me, what is your origin story? How did you end up at CDH? How did you end up becoming a competition lawyer? What clicked in your mind? Because for me, I watched Legally Blonde, I think, when I was 10. But that was that you? Did you watch Legally Blonde and decide to be a competition lawyer?
Well, my origin story is, Safi, I was born and raised in Witbank, now known as Emalahleni, where I did all my schooling. And then I headed to Johannesburg to study law.
Big city, bright lights.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, moving from a small town to Johannesburg was quite a big adjustment. So I studied law at UJ. And then in my second year, I was offered articles at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, where I started in 2019. Now, in terms of how I landed in competition law, well, honestly, when I joined the department, I knew about as much as the average person would who just reads headlines about competition law.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to say most average people don't read the headlines about competition law, but please carry on.
Noted. But yeah, what drew me in was actually the culture of the department, which was so highly spoken of, right? And yes. Once I started working in competition law, that's when I realized the impact that competition law actually has on people's daily lives. So to me, it felt like one of the areas of corporate law where I could actually do work that doesn't just sit on paper. It actually affects the economy and, more importantly, ordinary people every single day. And that's when I fell in love with it.
Okay, so you said two things there. First, you said you joined the competition law department as a graduate and you didn't really know what competition law was about. And the other thing you said was that you're doing work that makes a difference every day. So if you had to explain competition law and how it makes a difference to the average person on the street who doesn't read the headlines, if you had to explain this to your grandmother at a family braai in Emalahleni, how would you do it?
Well, I'd say, well, Gogo, competition law is like the rules of a fair soccer game, right? So everyone's allowed to play, but no one's allowed to cheat. In the business world, it makes sure that big companies don't bully the smaller ones. They don't gang up to fix prices, and they don't block other players from joining the game. It's all about keeping things fair so that people have choices and prices don't skyrocket and the economy stays healthy.
It really is fascinating when you explain it like that, but I'm still so deeply interested in how you went from not considering competition law as your home mm-hmm. to being as deeply passionate about it as you are, and honestly being as good at the work that you do as you are. Who is the first person that made you believe that you belonged in this competition law space?
Well, without a doubt, I say this with the utmost gratefulness, Duduetsang Mogapi. Duduetsang Mogapi was an associate when I was a candidate attorney. And actually, to share a very personal part of my life, I fell pregnant in the second year of my articles. And this was a very scary time in my life. I was terrified about what it meant for my career, especially at that early stage, right? So Dudu, who was also a new mom at the stage, took me under her wing and she taught me the foundations of competition law while supporting me through my pregnancy with so much compassion and generosity.
Yeah.
So she made me believe I could belong and thrive in this space as a mother, as a woman, you know? And for that, I'll always be truly grateful.
No, that's really incredible. And I think that it's a testament to you and to Dudu, who were new moms who managed to thrive in this space.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, just throwing it out there, I'm quite proud of CDH because you were a new mom as a second year candidate attorney and there was space for you, and they're reaping the benefits of that now. And, you know, we're touching on women's issues here. So For young women who might be considering law, what do you honestly think? Should they do it?
Absolutely.
I thought you'd say that. I love that. Say more. Why should they do it? What's more for them? Tell us, Nelly.
No, absolutely. In fact, don't just do law. Consider doing competition law. Because, I mean, it's still a very male-dominated field, as I think any other law practice is. To date, I think I've only met 2 female senior counsel that's advocates that practice in the competition law space, right? So I think we need more women, not just to participate in the space, but to lead it, right? So yes, definitely go for it. So yeah, that's my honest take.
That was a nice loud yes. And you encouraged them to join the competition field. Can you tell me, for those students or those young lawyers or just anyone listening to the podcast who may not know the details, what exactly does a senior associate like Nelly Kumalo do in competition law on the day-to-day?
So the bread and butter of our work is merger control. So that's when one firm takes control of the whole or parts of the business of another firm. And if the transaction meets the thresholds, we then notify the competition authorities of that transaction. Another big part of my role is prohibited practices. So that's advising on or litigating in matters where companies have been accused of conduct such as price fixing, market allocation, collusive tendering, and abuse of dominance, as a few examples. Then we also have due diligence work where we assess competition risks and transactions. And then we have market inquiries, which are broader investigations into how the entire market operates.
Can you just tell us what collusive tendering is quickly? Because the word collusion gets thrown around a lot in this country. What does it mean in the competition context?
So collusion is an unlawful, secretive agreement between 2 or more competitors to restrict competition. So often to fix prices, allocate markets, or to bid rig, which leads us to what collusive tendering is, Sefi. So collusive tendering, also known as bid rigging, involves bidders agreeing to collude or coordinate their bids in order to predetermine a winner at a particular price or particular terms. So collusive tendering can take many forms. The first such example of collusive tendering is cover bidding. So this is where competitors agree to submit bids that are intended to be unsuccessful. So this is done by inflating prices or not complying with mandatory requirements so that the predetermined winner can win the contract. The second example of this, Sefi, is bid suppression. So this is where one or more competitors would otherwise be expected to bid, or who have previously bid, agree to refrain from bidding so that the designated winner can win the bid. The third example is where bidders agree to take turns as the winning bidder, ensuring that a different conspirator wins at different bidding cycles. So this is a sort of you win this time, I win next time agreement. And that's in a nutshell what collusive tendering is.
So you're effectively a superhero and a defender of the average consumer without them even knowing.
Yes, I mean, I think that's part of what I mentioned earlier on, that's what I love, because my job impacts the daily lives of people on such a direct basis, you know? I think the one thing that I really would love for people to know about is competition law and how it actually affects them and how it can assist them. So it would be so great if we could get the word out there in terms of what competition law is and how it can make people's lives better on a daily basis.
Okay, well, people have heard it on CDH Conversations. Nelly is saying, please reach out to her so she can tell you what a superhero she is, because she actually is. And on that note, I'd like to know, what is the case that made you feel like the most of a superhero? If you can't mention names because it's confidential, I understand. But just give us a little insight into that big superhero moment.
So I think the most challenging and the superhero case that I've worked on is the Vodacom Maziv merger. It's been widely covered in the media. And without going into much detail about it, I just want to say that I think the most challenging part about it was getting to grips with the actual telecommunications market, right? Because it's a complex, technical, and fast-changing market. So I had to really get into grips in how the market works, because when you advise in competition law, you really have to immerse yourself in your client's business and the market in which they operate. And also that's The other thing that I really love about competition law, because I get to know people's businesses to such a great detail and acquire so much knowledge across so many different industries. So I think I've acquired knowledge in industries such as telecommunications, in agriculture, real estate, and even automotive. The list is endless, and I think that kind of exposure is priceless.
I think you're right. It's actually very fascinating. I'm rereading an old book with a new lens. It's called Range by David Epstein. And one of the things he talks about is how being a generalist really takes you to the next level because you can see the bigger picture. And it also takes me to the story about Steve Jobs, who gave us the Apple typeface and the Apple design because he once dropped into a calligraphy class at university without any interest in calligraphy and without any plans. It makes you so holistic.
Yeah.
I suppose it benefits your clients greatly because no market operates in isolation. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Definitely.
And how have you experienced that? Does it make you feel excited about the country?
It does make me feel excited about the country, Sefi. I mean, getting to experience the different markets and how they work and how they actually impact a daily consumer, you know? I mean, I feel I've worked on a few different mergers, and I think the one that's always sticks in my mind is an agricultural merger that I've worked on, where we were working on the merger where they were buying silos, right? So a silo is this big concrete storage where they store anything that they harvest, most of the time grain and stuff like that. So every time I pass by a silo, I'm like, I did that, right? So it makes me very excited every time I come past something that I had a direct impact on and that I worked on. It does make me very excited.
That's super cool. And for those of you who don't know, which is probably all of you that are listening to this podcast, Nelly and I work together quite a lot. And Nelly and I have had many a conversations about AI. And I can't help myself, Nelly. Can you tell us how you think AI is changing the way you do your work?
I think AI has improved the way I do my work in so many ways, right? So a big part of the law practice is going through large volumes of documents and doing long analysis and reading a lot of cases. So I think AI has saved so much time in all the work that I do. I think recently I had to go through a 4,000 page transcript to look for evidence that supports a matter. And AI actually took me through that evidence and showed me the important parts so that I could then apply my mind to it. So I think AI is taking us in a really great direction, especially for clients, because the more efficiently we can do our work, the better for clients and the better for fees, you know?
Absolutely.
So I welcome AI.
I'm glad.
I'm definitely a lover.
I'm glad. And you know that I share the sentiment that we now have more time to give strategic advice because we're not spending time reading 4,000 pages to make sure that you didn't miss something.
Yes.
Just one read and then running it through AI and you've saved a lot of time. And you're right. You can add a lot more value that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we've covered that the game is changing with the introduction of AI to the benefit of our clients. What would you, if we go back to the question earlier, you told women that they should definitely join law. What would you say to women who want to join but are afraid of AI? Is there still a space for them? And if you were a student today, what advice would you give yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, there's absolutely no reason to be afraid of AI. I think instead of being afraid, you should actually be excited about it, because I think it allows us to apply our minds even more to the work that we do, right? So as you know, the human mind functions up to a certain level or percentage, and AI just adds to that. And I think it's a call for us to expand our humanity. I think that's how I look at it. For us to expand the way we think, because it shows us, okay, these are the gaps that you've missed. And then it sort of challenges you for the next time you look at something to also look at it in the way that AI has looked at it. So I would always say AI is definitely not something to be afraid of. It's not here to take over our jobs. It's just here to make things much easier. And I think as a student, the advice that I would give to myself especially if I was a student that was thinking about competition law, which I think are very few people. But I would definitely say, remember that the game is ever changing, right? So that analogy I made of the soccer game. In order to be a great soccer player, or I think a great professional player of any kind, you must always know the rules of the game that you're playing in. So in terms of the rules in competition law, they're ever evolving, right? So the best way to stay a great player is to always evolve with those rules and always know what those rules are. And then the second thing is, you always have to practice in order to maintain your skills or to make your skills better. So the more you practice, the better you get. So if you just have those two elements in mind all the time, know your rules and practice more, then you're bound to become a superhero.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. For me, the key takeaway here and the inspiration that you gave me is that you've approached practice with fearlessness, but also with a level of conviction, with a love for challenges and an excitement about what you do. And I suppose if that's what people take away from this story, they'll be very lucky if they tuned in.
Thank you, Sefi. That's very sweet of you to say.
And I'd just like to thank everyone for joining us for another episode of CDH Conversations. Please tune in to the next one.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.